Welcome to the Sisters in Service podcast. My name is Kat Corchado, also known as the voice connecting women veterans nationwide. This podcast is for anyone connected with the military, from veterans, male and female, military spouses, military brats, even parents who may have children who are in the military. As an Air Force veteran, I understand the trials and triumphs that women veterans go through in service and out of service. And so I wanted to find a way that I could put it out there into the airwaves and let everyone know what we're going through and find a way and a solution to what's happening to us in the service. I also like to highlight these women who are business owners, they're entrepreneurs, they're bosses in their business. And so I hope that you will follow me, you will share, and you will subscribe to this podcast, which comes out every week on Tuesdays. And as always, please stay safe, take care of each other until next time. And it's never too late to start your impossible. Welcome, Sisters in Service, to another episode of the podcast. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Kat Corchado. You know me. I'm your host. And today, my guest is Makissa Lewis, and she is a combat veteran, Army combat veteran. She's a female advocate with her organization called My Sister, and she's a womanist. And we're going to talk about all of that in just a moment. So, Makissa, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Hi, guys.
I'm so glad you're here. So I understand that you went into the Army, and I always ask this question. Did you pick the Army or did the Army pick you?
I guess you could say the Army picked me. I remember in high school, to get out of class, I was told, come on, let's take the ASVAB. And I took the ASVAB, not thinking much of it. And then a recruiter kind of called my house and said, oh, you did real well. You ever thought of the Army? And I was like, no, not really. And that's kind of how I kind of stumbled into it. So thought, why not?
So did you think of any other services, or you just said, this sounds good,
well,
I'm going to do this?
Only the Army came to my school. Only the Army came to my school.
Oh.
I didn't even think about Air Force, even though later on I realized my skill set was more Air Force related, and I'm more diva-esque like an Air Force. No offense, no shade.
Then taken.
You know how armies have to do it. But no, only the Army came. So I went with the Army.
And so what was your job in the Army?
I was an automated logistics specialist.
Ooh, that sounds very... Okay, so tell us in people terms, tell us what that is.
Supply chain, ordering parts, warehouse.
Gotcha.
Warehouse. Cold warehouse.
Cold. I can't even. So where were you stationed where it was really cold?
Germany. Wintertime, Germany got really cold, and you had to go into those vans that just, it was freezing.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, like, South Korea in the wintertime.
I was in South Korea, but they didn't make us go into the vans too much in South Korea.
Okay. Yeah, their winters are like, it's funny because their summers are like South Carolina summers, mm-hmm. but their winters are like Michigan. And I'm like, okay, this makes no sense to me. So let's talk a little bit about your transition. How was your transition when you got out in 2010, I believe, right?
That was the final time. When I got out, because I was out also because I was a reservist, and I got out then too. But my final time in 2010, I was more mature. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. And if I didn't see it, I knew enough to ask those questions. So it was a lot easier in 2010.
I would like to think it was. I got out in 2000 when it was, you know, transition. It's like it was like a dirty word. No one talked about the T word, the transition word, you know, because no one, I believe, was actually doing it the way they expected to be doing it.
No,
you know what I mean?
2020, no.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was just very different back in 2000. And so you would think that it's different as you move forward. But I think it's better, but it's still difficult because
there's
so many things to choose from. And when you have so many choices, you know, what do? You just stand there and you look at it and you end up not making a choice because there's just so much to choose from. Would you agree with that?
Partly. Not only that, with coming out when I did, there was an expectation or assumption that I knew what to do or where to go, because it's better. And there was an assumption that I had it together, but I was still a female vet, so I was not considered a vet. So I had still had that blowback. But there was an assumption that, like, I knew exactly where to go, even though I knew I wanted to go to school and that was my focus. I didn't really know that there was a veteran counselor that I needed to speak to make sure my credits get paid by the VA system. I just knew I wanted to go to school. But the assumption is I knew. But they don't talk about that in the military.
Well, you don't know what questions to ask.
Exactly.
That's the problem, is that you think, I got this thing in the bag. And then you get out and thinking, holy crap, I have no idea what this is. It's a whole different animal than what I expected. So when we talk about transition now, do you think it's easier or harder than when you got out in 2010?
I think it's, in some ways it's easier because, like you said, there's resources and there's services and everything. But then it's a lot harder because a lot of them are coming out with a lot more baggage, a lot more weight, a lot more MST, a lot more PTSD. So they have a lot more to deal with, and they still, if they're female, still treated as a veteran light. So yes, there are more options, but they need more help, and they're still not getting the help because they're still treated as a veteran light.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. You know, just, I mean, you would think that after all this time that, you know, we are seen and we're not still.
No, still not.
Even if you look on TV, you know, when you talk about veterans, you know, they'll say, oh, veteran, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, and my ears perk up and it's about a guy. I mean, no offense to my brothers, my veteran brothers,
but
you know, I think that things aren't going to change until you start seeing us as in women veterans all the time on TV. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about, again, transition, what do you think is the biggest obstacle facing women veterans today, in your opinion?
Communication, I think. I mean, we don't know the questions to ask, but then when we do ask the questions, no one wants to tell us the answers either. So when we get enough courage to ask the questions, we get stonewalled. So I think that's one of the biggest problems, because if you get confident, we have the confidence to say, hey, I have MSD, for instance, then we're supposed to get treated, or we expect to get treated, but we don't. We get pushed aside. So then we don't communicate. And by not communicating, it just goes with a snowball effect. So I think one of the biggest hurdles that we have as female veterans is, I guess, finding the right person to ask those questions to. Because it seems like we always seem to go to the wrong person, the person who will stonewall us or not give us answers at all.
I think the other thing, too, is when you don't get the answer to your question, to keep digging, to keep asking the question. Because I think sometimes we ask the question, we get an answer, and we go, okay, because that's what we do in the military. They're like, yeah, we're doing it this way, and that's just the way it is. And keep asking the question, different ways until you get the answer that you're looking for. I mean, maybe the answer you're looking for isn't the answer you're looking for, if you know what I mean.
But at least it's an answer.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I agree with you, because there's a lot of things we have to unlearn. And unfortunately, as females, we don't get that opportunity to unlearn it. Men got that opportunity. They got that safe haven, in a sense, because they have the films. They have, when they mention in the 21 veterans that are dying of suicide, they have talking points for them. Females, we have to dig deep And if you're hurting, sad to say, you might not want to do those extra questions and keep on asking.
Well, I think the other thing too is getting connected prior to getting out and staying connected. And so what I learned is when I finally stepped into mine, I'm going to borrow a word from one of my woven sisters. When I stepped into my veterancy, I started, you know, going to all these, you know, luncheons and teas and coffee. Okay, maybe not teas, but coffees, breakfasts. And they were all male dominated. And so you don't feel really comfortable in talking about whatever it is you're looking for, whether it's a job or anything else. And so you feel kind of intimidated because what I found, and I don't know if this is so much so now, is that the women would stand up and say who they are. I'd say, I'm Kat Corchado, I'm retired Air Force, blah, 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 sit down. The men would stand up and say, yeah, I'm like Colonel, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not Colonel anybody anymore. Yeah. And I just thought that was unusual, but it's a little intimidating, I believe, you know, when you go to things like that. So when you look forward 10 years from now, do you think that transition will be something awesome, or do you think it'll still be that dirty word?
I think it'll be something awesome because we are, the females are more becoming more assertive. They're asking those questions. They're not taking no for an answer. We're organizing ourselves. We're recognizing there's something wrong with the system, which is a coup. That's big. Because before, even though we knew something was wrong or we had an inkling, we didn't want to probe anymore. So we actually see that there's a problem to fix and we're working to solve it. So I think the next generation will have it easier in that sense. Unfortunately, I still think they're going to be treated as veteran-like, but they will still have it easier because they're going to have a sisterhood when they get out. Like, yeah, they're going to treat you like veteran-like, but come with us and we'll treat you like a sister.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I dare anybody to, you know, challenge me on my being a veteran. You know, I just, it's something I stepped into and I embrace it and I wear it proudly. And if you want to question it, by all means, go for it. But you know, you might get your feelings hurt in the process. I'm just going to say.
I even got my hat. I was trying to find my hat, but I didn't want to be late. I got my veteran hat, my woman veteran hat. Because I think that's another thing that men do that us women need to join. We need to get our little hat. I have wear a hat every time we go to the VA, wear it proudly. Wear dog tags because they do that too. I make yes. them jiggle so people can see, until they stop thinking, oh, okay, you're here for your spouse, aren't you?
Right. I mean, you still get asked that. You know, yeah. It was a training video for people who deal a lot with veterans. And they say, well, you know, if you have a man and a woman standing beside you, they're a married couple, you know, who would you talk to first? And I said, I would talk to the woman first. I would err on the side of her being the veteran. Because if she's not, she could say, oh, no, I'm not the veteran. My husband is. Rather than just assuming, and you know mm-hmm. what that means, that it's just the man. You know, or just the male counterpart. So I just think it's very interesting. Now, I noticed that on your bio, you say that you are a womanist. Can you please define what that is?
Well, it's a term coined by Alice Walker, author of The Color Purple. Basically, it's Black women who... they don't want to call themselves feminists because unfortunately Black women sometimes feel that feminism didn't adapt their root, didn't embrace them, which for most part of in the United States, they didn't. And the civil rights movement, the men didn't want to embrace the women either because they wanted them to fetch coffee or be in an assistant role. So Black women needed to find a way to empower themselves. So womanist is the Black, I guess, empowered woman. She's proud to be a woman and she's proud to be Black. and all that it comes with it, even the heavy burden that it is, as someone else coined, the womanhood is the heavy burden. So it's a strong Black woman. So when I say womanist, I'm talking about being a strong Black woman, because that's also another issue that doesn't get talked much about in the armed forces. It's very colorist, for the lack of a better word. So I also have to make sure I'm mindful of that, because I also have that issue too, living here in Florida. To get some of my rights, I also have to be mindful that some people don't want me to get them because of the color of my skin.
Well, I think you have to stand strong in what you believe. And, you know, I think as women veterans, we carry ourselves in a totally different way than other, I believe, and this is just me, it's my opinion. You know, we kind of walk taller. We've got this sense of confidence about us, you know? So I think that, you know, when you own that, and it's not something you wear, it's something that's just part of you. You know, when you put that uniform on, you wear it for any amount of time. You know, I think that the fabric kind of leaches into your skin somewhere, somehow, you know, that you're this veteran and what that means. So I love that definition of womanist. And I wanted to talk a little bit about your why behind your organization. Can you tell us a little bit more about your organization and why you felt it was necessary to start it?
Well, my organization at its core is to provide resources, services, information. The why is kind of because when I got out, I found out that there was not a lot of resources. And it took me to go on Facebook, of all places, to find these female groups and finding these people, female like myself. But they weren't in Florida, but they were doing other things. And I was like, why can't Florida have that? Why can't Florida have this, like the Woven group? That was on Facebook. That was unheard of in Florida. South Florida, that is. Let me, because Florida is a totally different animal. Different parts of Florida are more veteran-like than others. But South Florida, there was nothing like it. And I wanted to duplicate that because I know that there's female veterans like myself who come out who just want to know where to go. Just want to know, oh, if there's another female veteran like them. And that's how the why came about. So it came out of me wanting to find females like myself, finding it on Facebook. And then I decided, okay, if it's on Facebook, why not be in person? Because some female veterans don't have access to the internet, but I see them. So that's how it came about.
Absolutely. How did that affect your organization during COVID? Because a lot of places shut down. And I mean, that's one reason that Woven went online, which was prior to COVID, is because people were having a hard time with logistics. You know, they're trying to, like, oh, I can't get there. So how did that affect your organization during COVID?
I find it was so difficult because a lot of the information that females needed, they couldn't get because they were shut down. One of the issues with COVID was it was kind of like an even playing field because everyone was trying to get information but couldn't. But for the female veteran, though, it was good for those who know how to use the internet. But those females who didn't know how to use the internet, who didn't know how to send text messages or anything like that, they struggled. They struggled big time. So for what my organization had to do was do more online, and hopefully those female veterans that weren't online to get them after. Because I was not going to have my board members or my members go out during COVID. Because I said, I'm not prepared to go, even though I still got COVID. So,
oh my gosh.
I got myself vaccinated. I still got it. Well, I didn't want to risk them getting COVID. So I had to make that decision because we still don't know anything about COVID because they keep on changing what, okay, you can't get it from this, you can't get it from that. Oh, make sure you have your mask, but make sure you have this mask. I mean, it kept on changing and the death toll was keep on creeping.
Right.
But I realized though, the sisterhood online, that premise, that got strong. That, so if anything, the online community of female veterans got really strong. They came out. So that's a good and a bad thing.
Yes. Well, I think too that, you know, now that we've been open for a while, you know, that a lot of people want that person-to-person, face-to-face type of interaction. And I understand that totally. I understand that. But I think it's great to have both. So I'm going to throw this question at you. And if you are talking to a woman who's about to get out of the military and she's saying things to you like, you know, there's so many organizations, where do I start? What kind of advice would you give her?
Well, I would ask her, what does she want to do? I mean, because I know there's a lot of organizations, that is true, but that's one of the beauties of it, finding out exactly what your interest is. Are you trying to go to work? Are you trying to go to school? Because you can do it all. That's one of the things I find that with our organization, we're not just saying we're just going just for education. We're going for the resources. So, hey, maybe you want to go fishing. Maybe you want to go scuba diving because there's so much information out there. So I would tap into exactly asking them what they want to do and telling them if they don't want to do anything, that's fine too. Maybe they want to get their DD-214 fixed or whatever. Tell them that it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It takes time. And take that time because you don't want to rush through it because you... I look at it, if I'm speaking to any female veteran or any veteran period, just realize that you were working all this time. You were in the military. You might want to decompress. Give yourself that time.
I wish I'd had that time. You know, a lot of us start to like freak out a little bit. I did. I mean, no, I didn't. I will say this. I thought I had it in the bag. You know, because after 20 years, I was like, I'm ready to do this, ready to be a civilian. I got this. And I so totally did not have it at all. And so there are sometimes, even now, and I've been out 22 years, that I feel as though I'm still transitioning in some ways.
Right.
You know, I'm still kind of, you know, bobbing and weaving and going with the flow type of thing on learning a lot about what women are going through now in the military and what it is, what their expectations are when they get out of the military. So I totally agree with you is depending on what are they looking for? Are they looking for a job? Are they looking for connection? You know, are they looking to go to school? Are they looking for VA benefits? Because those are all different roads that branch off of that big old tree trunk called transition.
Yeah. And you know what's one of the best things about that, at least what I've found and what I've told veterans, you can go down that tree trunk and then you can come back and go to another tree trunk. So you can do it all. You just have to pace yourself. So if you want to do education in the beginning, that's fine. And then after you finish with the education, you want to do employment, that's fine as well. So I find, I guess, one of the things that I've learned by being an advocate and being out in the community is there's so much stuff to do that you don't have to do it all at once. So just give yourself time.
Absolutely. What's the one thing that you're hearing from women veterans, like when they first come out? What's the one sore spot or the one... Is there something you're hearing all the time that they're having an issue with?
One of the saddest things is the MST. They're now more being vocal about it. I'm finding that a lot of them are saying that some version of MST or assault or it was not a smooth road. or they had to sacrifice a lot to at least get their DD-214 to be honorable. I'm hearing that a lot more than I expected, because it was not talked about when I was coming out. Probably was not talked about when you were coming out either, but they're talking about it now. And that hurts, because sad to say, even though I know they have time and they can do whatever they want, if you don't deal with MST, it's going to deal with you.
At some point. Absolutely. Yeah. At some point.
And that's the sad thing.
Yeah, I went to a conference early in 2017, I think, and they were talking, it was a lot of women, and they were all talking about this military sexual trauma. And I'm looking around going, what? Wait, what is that? You know, because I didn't have to deal with it in the military. And, you know, I'm sitting there hearing these horrible stories. And I thought, oh my gosh, is this what we've come to now? You know, and I thought, in this day and age, why is this happening? Or maybe it's been happening all along, but no one was talking about it. And now women are, yeah. And so now people are out there saying, this is what's going on. And this is what we need to do to stop it. We need to, you know, open it up and make sure that it's visible and people know about this so that we can figure out what's going on. Makissa, before we leave, when you are not advocating for women veterans, when you're not out there doing a job for women veterans, which I think is all the time, okay?
Yes,
because that's what we do, right? When you're an advocate, you're always on the job. What do you do? What are some of your hobbies?
Okay, there's two dogs. I call them Double Trouble because, you know, sometimes you have to use them as your password, so you don't want to get that name.
I like that.
So I love movies. I love watching movies. I love writing. Definitely no exercise. I always say I have a profile and people look, huh? But watching movies, writing, and spending time with my dogs. So I love doing that. The dogs are a trip.
What kind of dogs do you have?
They can boss me around, but you know.
What kind of dogs?
I don't know. They're mixed.
Oh, they're, are they a Heinz 57, as my mother calls them? Well, they're a mix of everything. They've got a little bit of everything in them.
Yes, because their mom was not selective with her partners. And I can't have them because, you know, I don't. So I used to have them, but I used to come home late, so I didn't get to walk them. And any excuse for me not to walk since I have a profile. So my mom was like, that's not good for dogs. They have to walk. And I was like, they don't mind not walking. They have a profile too. So that didn't go well. So she took them and she walks them every day. I just saw them this past weekend. So that was kind of fun. And we will go outside and they just will look at me and I'll look at them and we're like, okay.
Like, what are we doing out here? What's this green stuff out here? What are we supposed to do here?
Because I told her they have a profile. I mean, she don't want to believe me, but I do love watching movies. I love like Alfred Hitchcock and Miss Marple and all of those kind of old shows.
Oh yeah.
So when I'm not doing female stuff, which is kind of rare.
All the time.
Even before this call, I was working on some female stuff. And I love it, though. The reason why I love it, because I feel we're going to build a community so strong where it's just so commonplace that no one will feel how we felt, like so lost and clueless.
Right.
And females don't have to wear their hat. Because I find that it's so, every time you go to the VA, unless you have the hat, you don't have no credibility.
Oh, they're not ignoring me. I'm sorry. You're not.
Oh,
I'm just going to say it.
But look at my face. They always say I'm looking like a baby. I'm like, do I really look like a baby? No, I don't. I'm like, even these look like BC.
BC, not birth control. I forgot about that. They called them BC glasses no matter what branch of service you were in.
My glasses were huge because they made it into And then you had to put those glasses with the thing with the mop gear, you know?
Yeah. Other- yeah.
I could never see anything when I was in the mop gear. Cause I was like, I couldn't put the little thing in there. That was too awkward.
Good thing you didn't have to drive, right? You didn't have a
No. But I love speaking of Korea, I'd love to be in a mop suit in Korea though, because that was warm.
Yeah. I'm good. I was in one of those. They're very uncomfortable. We had to do the whole gas mask and everything. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good to go.
So I just get. I had to have the electricity, fire guard.
Makissa, tell our audience where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on Facebook at my sister, Mike Yankee Sierra. Echo, Sierra, Tango, Echo, Romeo.
Ooh. How can we never forget that? We never forget that. You know what I mean? I can A to Z, baby. A to Z.
So you can find me that way on Facebook. And then you can also find me on Instagram at Mike Yankee _ Sierra. Echo, Sierra, Tango, Echo, Romeo. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had anybody tell their contact information like that. So you're the first to do that.
I find it easier because I mean, people saying S like in Sam. I'm like, why don't you just use the letters? It's just easier. It's just.
Right.
That's what they're there for.
That's what they're there for. Right? I use it all the time and they look at me like, what? So, but that's veteran to veteran. Civilians would be like, that's veteran to veteran. Yeah. You know, when you talk the phonetic alphabet and they're just like, you know, civilians like, wait, what?
What are you talking about? You mean like Sierra? No. And then they'll just say something better. That's like Sam.
Well, Makissa, it's been a pleasure having you on today and learning more about your conversation, not your conversation, your organization. That's what I meant to say, because I'm enjoying the conversation and I'm just learning a little bit more about you. So I just want to say thank you so much for being on Sisters in Service. Of course. Absolutely. And for all my listeners, you know what I'm going to say? Please stay safe. Take care of each other. Until next time. And it's never too late to start your impossible.